Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, would you just tell us when there's a new pope? I don't need the other smoke coming out of the conclave. Anybody else out there, it's like all morning long, every half hour, every on the hour, the national news updates, there's smoke coming from the conclave. This is what it means. It's like the same story on repeat over and over again. Why don't you just tell us when there's a new pope? And in the meantime, get to the rest of the news out there. In fact, the only time I want to hear about black smoke is if there is black smoke coming from the Catholic burger stand in Wolf Point. If there's black smoke coming out of the Catholic burger stand in Wolf Point, hey, get on the national news. Tell us, we've got black smoke coming from the Catholic burger stand in Wolf Point, Montana. That's the news we want to hear about, because then we know, oh, man, it's time for some Catholic burgers in Wolf Point. But in the meantime, just enough with the what kind of smoke is coming out of the conclave. Anyway, that's just my take. I don't know. I'm sure there's some of you out there like, no, I want to hear every update, every 20 minutes, what's going on back at the Vatican. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long this whole thing lasts. But, oh, man, lots to talk about here on Thursday's Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, or if you just want to, you know, blow smoke across Montana, you can do that right now as well. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. One clip. If I was a smarter radio broadcaster, if I was a better broadcaster, I would save this for the end of the show, because I think it's pretty stinking funny. But instead of just saving the funny ha-ha clip for the end of the show, I'm going to just play it right now. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, did you guys see him testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday? And he gets into not just one back and forth with Maxine Waters. He gets into several back and forths with Maxine Waters. And Maxine Waters, she's always been crazy. She's always been pretty racist. But now she's getting pretty old. And I'll tell you what. If Joe Biden decided to become transgender, and if Joe Biden decided to start identifying as a black woman, Joe Biden would be Maxine Waters.
This is the first time we've met. Is that correct?
No, ma'am. We actually met one New Year's Eve in the Bahamas. And I was...
He didn't make an impression. Why don't I remember that?
Well, you were much better at the electric slide than I was.
And she's much older now. But isn't that just hilarious? Yeah, Maxine Waters just kept slipping up, just kept falling flat on her face in this back and forth with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. She's like the Joe Biden of Congress. If Joe Biden decided to become transgender, there you go. There you go. She is the Joe Biden of Capitol Hill. And, well, we've never met before. Actually, was at a big party in the Bahamas on New Year's Eve. And by the way, how did that congresswoman afford to make that all happen? Probably because of your tax.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app. One thing I want to share with you here as we get up and rolling here statewide from Plentywood to Missoula, I got a chance to catch up with William Perry Pendley. He goes back to the Reagan administration fighting on behalf of those of us here in the Rocky Mountain West, and he's making a big push to move more of, to basically to drain the swamp and move more of those jobs back here to the West. William Perry Pendley was acting Bureau of Land Management director under President Trump's first term. I got a chance to catch up with him here early one of these mornings here just a few days ago.
You know, you were acting BLM director. You did an incredible job in Trump 45's administration. What did you do in Trump 45's administration? What do you see taking place in Trump 47?
Well, I was, Aaron, I was tasked with the responsibility of taking the BLM headquarters out to Colorado. As President Trump said, people who manage the lands in the great American West ought to live in the great American West. And that was our thinking, too. 99% of the Bureau of Land Management's 245 million acres is in the 11 western states and Alaska. 97% of their employees are out here. But the top decision makers were all in Washington, two and even four time zones away. So when people in Alaska came back from lunch, people at headquarters in Washington had already left for the day. So we moved them all out. It was a great move. It was a huge success. We didn't have any complaints. There were no legal challenges to it, no formal EEO or Merit System Protection Board complaints. We had no adverse union activity. Everybody was happy. You know, there are some people in Washington that didn't want to leave town, and we found places for them. But we were swamped, Aaron, absolutely swamped with people who wanted to live in Colorado, work for the Bureau of Land Management, manage these lands for multiple use as the law requires, and be able to recreate there as well, and also have a 5 or 10 minute commute to work.
Well, and that's the thing. If you truly care about, you know, the outdoors and these lands that you're supposed to be responsible for helping to manage, then you would want to be closer to those lands. This idea, as you wrote in the Washington Examiner, was, of course, first proposed by former Interior Secretary and Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. I think now this model has proven that this just makes sense. I mean, look at all of the wealth that has been consolidated in that Washington, D.C. area known as the NCR, the National Capital Region. I mean, it's a massive amount of American wealth that is just being sucked up and soaked up in Washington, D.C. and power, too. And it just corrupts, because then you get all those people that they just want to kiss the rings of the D.C. establishment.
Yeah, there certainly is that, and it creates essentially the Washington area, as you describe it, is recession-proof, because it depends on the federal government. So as the federal government grows and burdens taxpayers, everybody who works for it, they're fine. You know, those of us out here paying for eggs and gas and everything else, we're the ones suffering, but people inside the Beltway, not so much. But in addition to that, Aaron, yeah, it's the totally different situation of being out here instead of being there. When I was there helping to run the Bureau of Land Management, every day we made decisions based upon a photograph, a piece of paper, and a map. No on-the-ground experience whatsoever. And when I got out to Colorado in 2020 and we started having those fires, we had the Pine Gulch fire north of Grand Junction, east of town. We had the Grizzly Creek fire. I saw the fire clouds in the air. I could smell the smoke. I brushed the ash off my car. And I saw the signs at the churches that said, pray for our firefighters. I went over to the fairgrounds when they got briefed in the morning. I went out on the line with them. Obviously, I wasn't fighting the fires, but boy, being there made a big difference instead of being in Washington and having somebody tell me, yeah, we got terrible fires out here.
And this worked at an interior. And, you know, the Forest Service is under the Department of Agriculture. If I read this right, you're saying, look, this, we've showed proof of concept. This works. Let's do it with other government agencies now.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what President Trump said in 20 after we made the move. He campaigned on it. He said, this is a great idea. This is wonderful. This worked great. I want to do it again. In the run-up to the 24 campaign, he talked about it. He says, in fact, BLM move was so good, I want to move 100,000 federal employees out of D.C. And then he issued an executive order and the Office of Management and Budget that said, yeah, here's how you implement. And days ago, as I write in that Washington Examiner article, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said, we're shutting down the headquarters, we're moving out of D.C., and of course, as you say, Aaron, the largest agency in the USDA is the U.S. Forest Service at 35,000 employees. They manage 193 million acres of forest. 80% of that is in the 11 western states in Alaska. So let's get the Forest Service out here. Maybe they won't be making the kind of mistakes they made in New Mexico where they lit off that burn and wiped out all those acres of land, including private homes.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got a couple of minutes here before we have to get to our hard break. But, you know, even when it comes to agencies like the agriculture, Forest Service, this BLM, this all makes sense. But even things like the FBI, I mean, Kash Patel and Pam Bondi now are surging FBI resources out into Indian country because of the drug cartel problems and things like that and missing and murdered indigenous persons cases. Well, why a surge? Why not just a permanent move? Why do we need 1,000 FBI folks in Washington when they could be out, fighting crime across the country?
All right, yeah, and full audio with William Perry Penley. Check it out at MontanaTalks.com. But, yeah, he just talked about how pleased he is to see the great work being done in this regard by the Trump team across the board. Did you?
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
There's white smoke coming from Yellowstone National Park. The season begins. Actually, that's not smoke, that's steam. Okay, well, let's go to Colstrip then. There's white smoke. No, that's steam too. Okay. But yeah, the season has begun. Man, gored by bison. A 47-year-old man from Florida was injured after getting too close to a bison in Yellowstone National Park. So the tourist season has officially begun. That's when the tourists think that it's time to start petting all the big fluffy cows in Yellowstone National Park. And then that's when the goring start to happen and people start getting tossed. Looks like we had the first one of the season yesterday, according to news reports out of Yellowstone National Park. Not sure if you guys saw that one. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, this is the show where you get to talk. I do got to give a shout-out to Jesse Waters on Fox News. I played that soundbite from Maxine Waters where she kept trying to do the gotcha game with Trump Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. And it's funny because they don't know what to do with Scott Bessent, because Scott Bessent knows where they buried the bodies. Because Scott Bessent, I don't know if you guys know this, he used to work for George Soros. But apparently he's a trusted agent, so he's cool, apparently. But he worked for George Soros, so he's been to all the parties. He knows where the bodies are buried. So when Maxine Waters played this gotcha moment and tried to say, well, we've never met before, and he's like, oh, actually, we met at that party in the Bahamas that one New Year's Eve. And it's like, wow, a so-called public servant like Maxine Waters partying at the Bahamas for New Year's Eve. She probably did that, you know, thanks to your taxpayer dollars as well. But there was another funny back and forth. Jesse Waters had just an incredible segment last night where he featured some of the back and forth between Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Democrat Congresswoman Maxine Waters out of Southern California. You know, remember, she's the one, she's good buddies with Jesse Jackson and the rest of the race baiters on the left. She's the one who claims to be representing South Central L.A., but she's got a mansion in another neighborhood. You know, again, how do members of Congress like Maxine Waters get so rich when they're, you know, serving, I use air quotes, as public servants, right? But there was another really funny back and forth. The Trump War Room shared this on X. Maxine Waters was trying to do a gotcha moment with Secretary Bessent about, you know, DOGE and some of the work to go after the fraud, waste, abuse inside of all of these federal agencies.
Again, they were granted read-only access at Treasury. There were two.
So let me just say,
DOGE employees.
Please, you can't filibuster here. This is not the filibuster playground. And so what you did was you let these strangers into our Treasury with access to all of the data, all of the personnel information, and you just opened the door. Why'd you do that?
No, ma'am. They were Treasury employees.
Oh, are you saying today in front of this committee that All of them were Treasury employees that the 25-year-old who's being identified, who worked for Elon Musk, was allowed into the Treasury. Was that person there?
He was a Treasury employee, as was Tom Krause, the senior person on the Doge team. There were only two people.
And I think Maxine Waters kept trying and trying and trying again to play the little gotcha game with Secretary Bessent, and she just kept falling flat on her face every single time. Again, if Joe Biden were to start identifying as a black woman and start identifying as transgender, it would be Maxine Waters. That's what you had right there. She is so far gone, so far out of it. All right, into the phone lines we go. What do you want to talk about? Looks like Donnie in Three Forks wants to talk about property taxes. Donnie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, no, it was not property taxes. I am visiting my daughter who works her butt off and has to pay income tax.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you have a sales tax? So we who come from other states pay your taxes because we're using your roads. We're using everything.
So where are you from?
We're giving away for free.
Where are you?
Indiana.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, we've had a number of callers make that suggestion. It's very unpopular here in Montana. Every time the issue comes up, you know.
Educate the people. Educate them that we from Indiana are not paying your taxes, and you take it away, they'll get their income tax reduced. If they see their income tax reduced, that would be a wonderful thing.
Well, thankfully, we just got another big income tax reduction. You know, we finally got a Republican governor for the first time in 16 years back in 2020. And now for the last three legislative sessions now, we have reduced income taxes. I wish it could have been a bigger reduction like the governor first proposed, but nonetheless, a big reduction nonetheless out of this last one.
Put in a sales tax, educate your people.
Here's the problem. What our people would say is they would say, well, let's educate other people from other states. Is that the problem is okay, we open up the door, we put the camel's nose under the tent with an income tax, and what does government do? You give them a tax, and listen to me here for a second. The problem is, and you see this in governments across the country right now, we don't have a sales tax in Montana. What would happen is they'll say, oh, well, if you let us do a sales tax on you, we might get rid of property taxes, or we might do this, or we might do that. No, they will figure out a way to get their sales tax and then still keep taxing you on your property tax. I mean, that's just what they do time and time again. But I hear where you're coming from. You know, there are people who make that argument that, well, in theory, you could get rid of this and put that in place. The other challenge that we've got here in Montana, and I don't know what Indiana's like. I got a chance to meet your great attorney general a couple of years ago down at the SHOT Show in Vegas. But the other challenge we have here in Montana is we have a radical left-wing Montana Supreme Court. They don't care what the legislature does. They don't care what the people of Montana do. You could vote a constitutional amendment on the ballot, and the far-left Montana Supreme Court will say, nah, we don't like that. So I think that's the other challenging factor, is that even if people could be convinced that, well, if you get rid of this, you could have that instead, or if you put this in place. And look, we just right now, until we get a change in our far-left Montana Supreme Court, they don't care what the people of Montana say. I appreciate your phone call, though. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's go next. We've got Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle. He is back home on the farm after the, it's quite contentious legislative session. Jerry, thanks for calling back in. I heard from you earlier this morning talking about the new ice arena in Billings and, you know, how Montana coal is what's making that happen. But what else do you want to share talking about the legislative session?
Well, good morning again, Aaron. I guess what I called in earlier about was the bill that we were able to pass for Signal Peak to keep them help them keep producing there and Roundup. And what I mentioned earlier is it kind of ties into the bigger question of property taxes too. And what I've tried to explain a number of times on the floor of the House and in committee during the session was what the state can do to address property taxes is pretty limited because mostly it's just the school mills or just the school mills that the state actually collects. And but the bigger issue is when it comes to property tax is what's happened and what I encourage the members of the legislature to do is just envision a big pie. And your listeners will, oops, oh, darn it, I'm trying to do two things at once and I forgot to turn my boom back on.
You know, I was going to say, are you still spraying while you're talking too?
Yeah, I had to take a break and go fill up, otherwise I would have called in earlier. But, anyway, the big pie, just envision in people's minds a big pie, and that's your property tax base. So that's all the property in the state that gets taxed or is available to be taxed for property. And so when you take out a piece or two of that pie, then whoever's left gets to pick up the tab. And so starting about 60 years ago, I would say, we allowed some of those pieces to be removed. We allowed our timber industry to be removed. We allowed much of our mining industry to be removed. We've allowed our coal generation plants to be shut down. And most recently, Joe Biden and John Tester canceled the Keystone Pipeline. So all of those things would have added huge amounts or did add huge amounts to our property tax base. And so those things have all been pulled out. So the people that are left get to pick up what the whole used to contribute. So that's homeowners, that's small business people, that's farms and ranchers, anybody with property that gets taxed. So until we get our ducks in a row, and unfortunately a lot of it has to do with the 1972 Constitution that just made it a litigator's paradise and environmental wacko paradise, until we get our natural resources producing again, it's going to be a tough game to reform.
No, that's exactly
property
right.
Taxes.
That's where everybody agrees. At least those of us on the conservative side and those Republicans, even some of the moderates would agree there that that's the real challenge is that you know, we've had far left courts federally and Supreme Court in Montana. And then 16 years of Democrat governors, and then before that, and they destroyed our industrial base here in Montana, and that wiped out a lot of property tax revenue. And so the residents are shouldering the burden of that. That's why we've got to make America great again, make our mining great again, make industry great again, all the above to rebuild that industrial base. Now, we already got to take a quick break here. Representative Jerry Schillinger, stand by. We'll come back to you and more callers right after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Today I'm reporting once again from Australia on the 2025 World Angus Forum. Now, I'm not going to lie, I am relieved to not be having to ride a bus again today. We put over 1,000 miles on our buses traveling from Sydney to Brisbane on the Angus Track Tour, but we are in Brisbane for the 2025 World Angus Forum. There's over 26 countries represented at the event, and all are passionate about livestock and the Angus breed. One of those individuals is from Perth, Scotland, Mr. William McLaren.
Well, I mean, that's what the Angus breed's about. It's a family, it's a people breed, and we've got a common goal and an interest. And we're all saddles on that bus. We all just want to look at cattle, speak about cattle, and eat cattle. And when it's Angus, we couldn't ask for a better breed. So it's a world breed. The genetics have travelled, the American genetics have travelled the world. So we all have common genetics that we know about and bulls that we all can speak about.
Now, the theme of the World Angus Forum was Beef for a Better Planet. A lot of discussions on the global scale on the role cattle play in taking care of our natural resources. For more on my trip down under, check out my social media pages, Lane Nordlund, Ag Broadcaster. Have a great day, everyone. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here. Hopefully, Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle was able to stick with us here. I know he's farming and fighting at the same time. Not fighting, but, you know, talking about property taxes and more. But, you know, Jerry, when I hear you talk about this, yeah, look, that's what we've got to do. We've got to rebuild our industrial base. You know, these environmental extremists have destroyed in this state. And that's why when I look at this property tax relief plan, you know, I see, you know, some people saying ag's going to take a big hit here. You know, industry's going to take a hit. And then people are debating, well, how much of a hit? I spoke Carly Johnson from the Montana Farm Bureau earlier this morning, and yeah, ag's going to get an increase, but she says it's not too large of an increase at least. And then I see some debates on X taking place right now as to whether or not or how much of a hit, you know, industry like, you know, energy companies, et cetera, will take from the property tax relief plan. But I guess my thing is, whether ag takes a big hit or a small hit, and whether industry takes a big hit or a small hit, the fact is we don't have a revenue problem in Helena. It's a budget surplus. Nobody should be seeing an increase, if you ask me. But I know that property taxes are very complex.
Well, they sure are, and I'm going to actually just, in what you just said there, raise a number of issues and thoughts in my mind regarding that. But one I'd like to mention real quick that actually was a small bit of property tax reform that we could have done this session was a bill I carried that would have changed the classification for wind generation, the windmills, the towers themselves, and the generators on them. It would have changed them from a class 14 to a class 13, so their tax rate would have went from 3% to 6%. And why I carried that bill primarily was the fact that it would have put them on the same playing field then as solar. Solar's in that class 13. Your thermal generated, your coal, your gas-fired power, they all pay that class 13 6% rate. So just from an equity fairness standpoint, it would have put them on the same playing field. Plus, virtually all of that energy that's produced by these wind generators goes out of state. So it would have been essentially like letting the out-of-staters help pick up a bit of a more of a load, but a fair load. So
yeah,
it wasn't like we're asking them to do anymore. Now would have added a little over $4 million just in the state coffers that goes towards school funding. What it would have also done is all of these counties that have these wind farms in them, is it would have substantially lowered property owners' taxes there because of the increased revenue that counties and cities would have been able to collect as a result of that. So it would have been a small step in the right direction. And unfortunately, Republicans and Democrats alike killed that in committee. The lobby for the wind generators scared them off, I guess, said, my gosh, we just won't be able to build in Montana if you do this. And that's a far cry from the truth. But
well, I know
that's what happened.
I know your friends and neighbors down near Terry and Fallon and you know, further over to Weibo would certainly not be disappointed to hear that a wind energy might not be coming in. If that were the case, they might be very happy with that result, actually.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that too. And you know, when it comes to that, Aaron, that again raises another topic that they talk about the environmental footprint of various types of energy production, and a coal mine and a coal-fired plant has a far smaller footprint than all these wind farms have, and a lot smaller environmental imprint too. When you look at all of the rare earth minerals that have to go into these wind generators,
so yeah,
we've just been sold a bill of goods, and that's one thing I am.
It's 2025
on the federal level.
It's 2025. They should be paying their fair share of these taxes, like every other energy utility has had to do, or every other energy producer. They shouldn't be getting subsidized. It's not 2000. It's 2025. They've had plenty of time. Jerry Schillinger, great to hear from you. Great to get your insight. Sorry to cut it short. We got more callers I need to get to here as well. Speaking of, you know, we had that earlier caller from Indiana, and it was fun to hear from her. Thanks for calling in. She was, you know, talking about all the income taxes her daughter has to pay. And she asked the question, why don't you guys have a sales tax? Get rid of your income tax. I guess my bigger picture is this. Again, we don't have a revenue problem in Helena. We don't need another revenue stream that they can continue to tax us on. They need to give us more of our money back that they're already taking right now. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a taxing and a spending problem. Fred in the Flathead said this. He says, when I was a new taxpayer in a state with a sales tax, the sales tax was around 5%. That state sales tax is now almost 10%. So that's kind of to this argument about once they get their foot in the door, boy, they're just going to figure out more ways to take more of your money. Greg Franks in Billings on the phone lines. Greg, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to answer that call from Indiana, kind of give a little bit of a historical knowledge, go back in the way back time machine into 1994 when Mark Roscoe, during his first term, introduced a constitutional initiatives for a sales tax in the state. There are actually two initiatives that were issued. The first one was for a state sales tax, and then the second one was to put a 4% cap on the sales tax. Everybody voted against the sales tax initiative, but they hedged their votes and capped the sales tax at 4%. So the people that want to look at a sales tax, they need to understand that there's already a 4% cap on a sales tax in the state of Montana. And if we're only, I think the only way Montanans would support a sales tax is if it was a complete replacement of either income or property taxes, not a new tax like you've been talking about. Because as you know, they just keep raising rates, rates, and they're also now three tax revenue streams that are off the charts and giving to government more money. So you need to understand that we have a constitutional initiative that we cannot have a sales tax over 4%, and unless it's a complete replacement of one of the two, I don't think the Montana people are going to support it.
But we've also had the Montana Supreme Court overturn a constitutional initiative of the people, which is how you amend our Constitution. And so if this far-left Montana Supreme Court won't honor the democratic process, democracy, right, and they won't honor a constitutional initiative that actually wins at the ballot box, how can we trust that they would honor that as well? So, I mean, that again goes back to the big picture here. So we can talk about a million other topics under the sun, but we've got a Supreme Court seat up next year. And unless we bring some common sense and some integrity and some justice back to the Montana Supreme Court, all these other issues are kind of secondary to an extent. Would you agree?
Exactly. There's an initiative that also got passed, I believe it was in the late 80s. I think it was in 88. CI-187 or something of that sort. I might have that number wrong. But it was a cap on property taxes, and that stayed in effect for almost 10 years until the Supreme Court. It was a constitutional initiative. It stayed in effect for about 10 years until the Supreme Court decided it was unconstitutional. And how they have the right or the say to do such things, to go against the will of the people as a constitutional amendment, I don't get it. Never have.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, they did the same thing with a pro-life measure as well, as Jeff Lasloff here at the Montana Family Foundation has reported. Greg Franks, great to hear from you. Great to see you yesterday as well. Yeah, I ran into Greg after attending the groundbreaking ceremony for the Signal Peak Energy Ice Arena in Billings, Montana. Yeah, it's Signal Peak Energy. They got the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup. They ponied up $6 million to help build a new ice arena. In fact, I ran into a friend of mine who grew up in Glasgow, ran into him at the event here, and I was telling him, I was like, yeah, this is a pretty cool deal. Thanks to this beautiful, clean Montana coal, Billings is going to get a beautiful new indoor ice arena. And we were talking about it. I said, yeah, man. I was like, you probably hear it too, but I'll have people that'll tell me, it's like, man, you know, Glasgow, Montana, out in what they describe as the middle of nowhere, has this incredible indoor ice arena. And yet the largest city in Montana has been falling behind in that regard. And so now, thanks to beautiful, clean Montana coal, they're making it happen. Next up on the phone lines here, we've got former Gallatin County Sheriff Bill Slaughter calling in from Hall, Montana. Hey, Sheriff, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, great to hear you guys. I still got my Rams hat and still wearing it.
I was going to ask you. I got two Rands. I've got two custom-made Rands hats now. I had them put together a Panama hat for me, so hopefully I can.
Oh, you're styling. You're
hopefully
styling.
I can, yeah, have that on the beach with a cigar in hand one of these days.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. Hey, listen, I was going to just this tax stuff, you know, is just too much. So, kind of a funny story. Back in the 90s, we had one spring just like this. We had Buffalo kill three tourists, just boom, boom, boom.
Really?
And it was, oh, yeah, it was a bad deal. And I'm pretty sure some of my deputies were involved in this, but there was a sign that showed up just there on the west entrance that said, Buffalo 3, tourists 0. And the park rangers at the gate told me, you know, that darn sign has had more people asking, are they really dangerous? As, you know, read the stuff we give you.
It got some attention, huh? Hold that thought, Sheriff Slaughter. We'll come back to you right after this hard break here.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, 'tis the season. The season begins already. Man gored by bison. That was an NBC Montana headline. A man already gored by bison in Yellowstone National Park. Cat in eastern Montana says, welcome to bison season. Let's see. Crazy Aiders on X replied, for people that witness such events, it's really traumatic and horrifying for the bystanders. Some only get to be the fool once. Jimmy Friday, at Jim Basket on X, shared a photo of a hat. It's got the Montana state outline, and inside on the hat it says, pet the bison. Let's see, Tourons, that came in from Peter Rosenberger. Free Northman calls it tossing season. Another commenter on X says, the Yellowstone Darwin Award ceremony begins. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and then here we go. This one came in. Who was this from here? Oh, yeah, this comes from Sheila B. Sheila B. says, bison won, man zero. But former Gallatin County Sheriff Bill Slaughter, your son's now the Cascade County Sheriff, but former Gallatin County Sheriff Bill Slaughter. So you guys actually, somebody actually put up a billboard back in the day when you were sheriff,
yeah,
with
I
the numbers.
It was, might have had something to do with a couple of deputies that were working up there, good guys. But the funny thing about the sign, the park employees took it down and it kept showing back up all summer. They didn't have any more incidences at all. People were asking questions. You know, the thing is, it's really unnecessary. People just pay attention and enjoy the park and understand that, you know, this is the West, and there's stuff out here that will kill you. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now, you know, the signs you see now, instead of, you know, bison 3, man 0, now you see billboards, you know, like at Four Corners that say, make Bozeman, Montana again. Have you seen that one?
Oh, my goodness. You know, you guys were talking about the Bozeman county attorney not wanting to help out Sheriff Springer and remove people that are, you know, committing crimes. In the 90s, we had some Afghan national students, MSU students, that drove a car into the security bank window and ripped down all the American flags on Flag Day.
Really?
And about 25 minutes later, they were in my jail. Of course, that morning, I had all MSU standing there saying, well, release them. They're just good guys that made a bad mistake. And I said, no, not so much. I had a good county attorney, though. I had Marty Lank. And Marty's gone now, but, boy, he was a stand-up guy. And he said, is there any way you can get me out of this? And I said, yeah. I just called ICE, and in 24 hours, they were on an airplane.
On their way. Wow. What year was that?
It was about 96, I think.
So you still had a Democrat president. And so you had.
I did.
So yeah. This kind of makes the point again. Like you had ICE under a Democrat president. You've got people are in this country. They break the laws. They cause problems. Doesn't matter if they're students on a student visa or whatever. You're out of here, even under a Democrat president. But now Trump wants to get these criminal, illegal alien MS-13 gangbangers out of here, and you've got the Gallatin County attorney standing in the way. You've got the Democrat Party and the liberal mob media all standing in the way.
And that's just crazy, you know. It's just public safety. I'm glad Dan's standing up, though. Sheriff Springer is saying, wait a minute, I'm elected. I don't work for you. You know, you're not my boss. The people of Gallatin County are, and I'm going to stand for their public safety. So couldn't be prouder of Danny.
I was going to say, yeah, Gallatin County Sheriff Springer just seems like he's doing a good job. He's working to protect the people. And I've never seen anything from him that suggests that he's just some, you know, right-wing Republican bomb thrower just trying to get his name in the news. He's just doing, in fact,
proud to say I hired him.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
One of the better decisions I've ever made. Yeah.
Well, and then look at these sheriffs. I mean, if it wasn't for sheriffs, I mean, the COVID-19 garbage and BS, I mean, one of my biggest stories that year that in terms of views on our website was when the sheriffs of Montana, 38 of them, if I recall, stood up and said, hey, we're not enforcing this unconstitutional BS.
I mean, against the governor and a lot, you know, they cut a lot of heck from the politicians, but what they knew and everybody else should have is the public that elected them were standing with them, and that's why they were successful.
Well, I'll tell you what, God bless those sheriff's deputies, those police officers in Bozeman as well. I mean, the mess that they've got on their hands right now. I just saw there was a big story about graffiti on Main Street in Bozeman, and, you know, I don't know if we found out who was responsible for that, but, you know, you import these, you know, out-of-state left-wing activists. We've already got enough homegrown problems alone. And then you import the third world gang element. Well, don't be surprised when the third world...
What's going to happen?
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah, and then the prosecutors need to stand behind them. I mean, next time this prosecutor comes up for election, people need to remember, I don't care what party you espouse to, but it's just public safety. Plain and simple.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. When she first got on the job there, got elected as a Democrat county attorney, I thought, well, it looks like she wants to tackle some of the crime issues. She wants to go, after some of this stuff here. But then now it's like she's standing in the way and aiding and abetting the very criminals that came into this country illegally. It's just like,
wow. Make sense to me.
All right.
Good to talk to you. All my best to everybody there, and it's a beautiful day in Montana.
Hey, you as well. Yeah, great to hear from you, and I appreciate you calling in. That story about the bison was great. I just threw that story out there earlier in the show, and led to a great phone call. Nice surprise phone call there from the former Gallatin County Sheriff. That's what I love about this show. You never know who we're going to hear from and what all we're going to talk about.